is Monday night, and we hope that you are all having a lovely evening. Andrea, you and I think both on the air and off the air, have had conversations about friends of ours who have been in relationships that have turned sour.
Yes.
And sometimes it's no fault of anybody's.
Right.
Sometimes people change.
Sure.
You grow apart and things like that. But I feel like we both have known people who've been in just surreal situations.
Yes.
And and whether or not they have kids, it's all very hard. And that's why I'm so glad we have Gina Diaz here from Diaz Family Law. We have this segment every Monday night called Rethink Fam. It's rethinking families, because we all have this idea of what it means to get married, to have kids, to buy that house, to have the white picket fence or whatever. Maybe it's a condo in a high rise. And when things don't turn out that way, I think that people struggle with reality. Gina, you must come across a lot of couples who, whatever the situation is that has put a wedge between them, whether it's internal or external, it's hard sometimes.
For sure. I mean, I see, you know, I was just talking with some friends the other day, and I was like, you know, it's so hard to see people that, like, you know, once upon a time loved each other so much that they created these children and, you know, got this home and had all this, and now they can't even be in the same room together, you know, and it's hard, you know. But, you know, I think what sets my firm apart from, you know, other places is that we understand, we get that, and we don't want to focus on, you know, let's argue about everything. We want to focus about how can we make this less painful for both of you, you know, not just for the person that's our client, but also for the other person, because we don't want, you know, we don't want you guys to be arguing anymore, because at the end of the day, it only hurts the kids, you know.
And it can hurt you, because this is what you're consumed by.
Correct.
Because it becomes almost one-upmanship. It becomes about revenge or getting back at somebody in whatever way they can. What are some of the ways that you find help families make it less painful?
For sure. I mean, first and foremost, you know, you got to be able to communicate, you know. And if I have like a client who clearly cannot communicate with his or her spouse, then we say, don't let us do it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't call him, don't call her. Whatever goes wrong, don't react. Let us know and let us handle it. Let, you know, that's why you have an attorney. Let the attorneys handle it. Because by you going over there, or by you like saying something or doing something, you don't know what the intention of the other party is. And they could literally use that against you, or they could literally be like, see, I told you that, you know, she did this, or I told you that she was crazy, or, you know, or he was this or he was that. So, you know, if you have any doubt in your mind that this is going to upset the other person, just don't do it. Let us do it, you know. And we truly are 24/7, even though obviously our office closes at a certain time. We usually give our clients our cell phone numbers, and we're like, use it for emergencies. If your spouse is 5 minutes late dropping off the kids, that is not an emergency. Mm-mm. But if, you know, 24 hours have gone by and you still haven't heard, that is definitely an emergency. Don't go over there. Let us know, and we'll tell you, you know, what to do. Like, we truly, like, are on the phone with them, and we're like, okay, go here, do this, do that. We, you know, we want to take care of you, because we want to make sure that this is less painful, because we can't say it's not going to be painful, because,
too bad there's not, like, a golden rule, like, leave the kids out of it. You
right.
know, because you hit the nail on the head. These are people, at one point, you truly cared about this person. You know, don't drag. I actually have a friend who's, it just got very nasty. You know, this was many years ago, and now actually, you know, they've had this come to Jesus moment, and they're kind of friendly again. Yeah. But at one point, he had said to her, to the kids, well, this is mommy's doing this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's just awful to witness that.
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
Man.
For sure.
Well, it sounds like what you do is, rather than, you know, your kind of take on this is not to get in the middle of it, but to give people the tools in order to get through it.
Right.
That makes sense.
Exactly. And that's what it should be about, right? Because it is a painful time. I mean, I remember just breaking up with a boyfriend when I was like 15 was like painful,
oh,
you know, just that was like traumatic enough. So now, you know, someone you have kids with, you had a house with, you know, like so many things that like we could help you make them less painful, you know. But, you know, also the person needs to be willing to listen, you know, because we always get some clients that are like, but, you know, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, no, I think I'm going to do this. And then they come and they're like, oh, I did what you told me not to do.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, well, what's the result of that?
All right, let's sit down and get started on it. Right. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, we're talking to family law attorney Georgina Diaz. Gina joins us on Monday nights. You can go to rethinkfam.com for more information about the work that they do. She has a team of lawyers that will help you get through whatever you're going through. You can also call 708-665-4500. Again, that is 708 865-4500 or visit RethinkFam.com. I often wonder about when a decision has been made by a family law judge. Can a family, if things change, or because I feel as though one of my friends has an ex who will often say, well, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to take you back to court and we'll just see what they have to say about this. Are there ways that can be, that these decisions can be changed positively or negatively depending on the situation?
Yeah, you can always, what we call post decree, you know, which is after the judgment, you know, you can always go back to court, especially if someone doesn't, you know, say what the judgment says they're going to say. We find this a lot in like property cases. For example, like there's a house and like one person wants to keep it, and then we'll draft the agreement where it's like, okay, we're going to give you a year or however much for you to refinance the other person out. So then that person also has financial freedom and can go buy another house. But then the person that kept the house never did it. And now the house is in foreclosure. It's underwater. So now, you know, like that other person's credit is ruined. So now we have to go back to court and be like, judge, you know, the divorce was not complied with. The judgment wasn't. It doesn't mean that we're going to undo your divorce. God, no. You know, but we're going to find other remedies to make that person whole, or to, like, you know, bring justice to that person, because now their credit's ruined, or they're stuck in a house that they don't even live in. Or maybe they were making payments, but the other person wasn't making their side of the payment. So now where's that money? Mm-hmm. So you can always go back if one person isn't holding their end of the bargain according to the divorce.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing is wanting to do that back and forth with people.
Yeah.
What do you tell folks when it comes to sitting down and making a decision to call the attorney? Because, you know, sometimes this is something that it's been in the works for a while. They don't know. Some people just stay in a relationship because it's just easier than getting out of it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that phrase. It's cheaper to keep her. For sure. And I always say, you know, I mean, if you think that way, right? But I mean, I think you can't pay me enough to be happy, you know, like I always say you got to think about how much does your happiness mean to you. And if you're in a relationship where, you know, financially it makes sense to stay in it, but emotionally it doesn't, I feel like money comes and goes, but your emotional stability, you know, that's really hard to find.
Right.
You know,
how did you, let's find out a little bit about you before we go to the break. As a matter of fact, where did you grow up, Gina?
I actually grew up here in Chicago. I was born in Mexico, came here when I was like 6 years old, and I've been here ever since. So I grew up in a little village. So I'm a Chicago girl, for sure.
Your family had to be so proud when you went to law school. My mom, I'm sure, is like, do you talk to Gina? See if you can still go back. Get your law degree.
It's never too late, Patty.
It's the one thing I will probably do.
Yeah, you should.
My one life goal is to get a law degree. So when you decided to go to law school, did you have an idea of what kind of law you were going to focus on?
For sure. Actually, I really, really wanted to do family law, and I really wanted to do criminal defense.
Okay.
Which are, you know, two things that we do in my office. I knew, like, just because, you know, like the cliche, I'm Hispanic, so you should do immigration law. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to be the cliche, you know, but I actually do immigration law.
Right.
Because, you know, I just need to give back to my community and I need to help, you know, and as an immigrant myself, I feel like it's only right. Real estate, we also do real estate, workman's comp, bankruptcy. So we kind of, like, my office does almost everything. Me personally, I concentrate, you know, more in this area of law.
Family
law, immigration, that's kind of, and real estate is kind of what I do. But but yeah, I mean, I went to law school in Michigan, and, you know, I had a daughter when I was 19 years old. So, like, you know, thank God for my parents, because they, you know, and that's kind of why I wanted to do family law, because, you know, of my own situation, and I had family that were going through divorce and stuff. And, like, I just saw a lot of things that were being done that were not fair. And I said, you know, this can't be right. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help people like that in the future. You know, people like myself that find themselves at, like, you know, 20 years old with a child and, you know, nobody there to, you know, hold it down.
Yeah. We were talking to Gina Diaz from Diaz Family Law. You can go to RethinkFam.com or call 708-665-4500. Again, that's 708-665-4500. We'll take your questions or comments when we come back. 312-981-7200. If you are going through a situation that you would like some advice on, give us a call. More in a moment on The Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darvas, 720 WGN. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we are talking to family law attorney Georgina Diaz of Diaz Case Law, and we are talking a little bit about how the dynamics of family can change, in particular, obviously, when we're talking about a separation, a divorce. People often have questions about what that means when you are separating your marital property, maybe custody or alimony issues, and a lot of people want to know, you know, about how the fees would, you know, is there a cap sometimes on how much, you know, people are, because I cannot wrap my mind around how much people often have to spend when it comes to having, you know, going through this when you're
through
a divorce.
Yeah, I mean, it could for sure can get very expensive. I mean, you can't really charge a flat fee like other types of cases unless it's like a divorce by agreement.
Right.
But the reason they don't really let you charge a flat fee is because you don't ever know how long it's going to last, right?
Right. Like, something keeps coming up.
Exactly. You know, it's always like one thing. I've had so many people that come into my house and they're like, oh, yeah, we're in agreement. Everything's fine. And then we sit down and we talk about like the division of the property or like the 401k or who's going to claim the children during, you know, what taxes or what, you know, stuff like that. And then they're like, okay, maybe we're not. So I'm like, you know, this is why we don't do flat fees, because we don't, as attorneys, obviously, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot and be like, well, it's only going to be this, and then we're 3 years later. But also, vice versa, we don't want to say it's going to be all this, and then we're able to resolve it sooner. So usually it's by the hour.
Okay.
You know, that's very standard.
And the thing is that people often come into this really having no idea. Most people are going through this for the first time.
Right, right.
What are people surprised by the most when they come in, and or what's kind of some of the first sort of elements of having a conversation with you when they come into your office?
Well, first we kind of ask the very first thing is, why do you want to get divorced? Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, you'd be surprised how many times like we've actually like talked people out of it. You know?
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, yeah, we have.
I was wondering if there have been moments where they're like, you know what, never mind.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, like at the end of the day, like we want you to be happy, you know,
right.
And I feel like happy people are going to come see me for other things versus like, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, she sucks or he sucks. Let's get you divorced. And then, you know, it's not really, you know, that's not what we're about.
Right.
You know, we've also, you know, taught people into like maybe putting on what we call a reconciliation calendar, where it's like, it seems like you guys are getting along. It seems like you kind of forgot the reason why you wanted to get divorced. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you guys want to try it again, we don't necessarily have to stop the divorce. We just kind of freeze it,
mm-hmm.
And you know, you put it on hold, and in Cook County we can do that. And then if you like, let's give it 6 months. If then you decide you still want to get divorced, we just pick up where we left off. You don't have to refile and repay all the money you've already spent. But then if then you're like, you know what, I think we're gonna be fine, you know, we can just stop.
People can take a breather.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes that's what you need. I feel like sometimes you're fighting about, you don't even know what you're fighting about. You just wake up and you're like, you know, I don't think I want to be with you anymore. But then like 3 months, you're like, oh, I love you again.
Let the chemistry in your brain change a little bit, right?
Exactly. So,
well, because you never really know what sets you off the course, right?
Yeah. It's true.
There, you know, whether it's work or you don't have enough time for each other, you get into patterns and you're not taking a step back and evaluating, what am I feeling?
Right.
Right. And I think for a lot of us, it's easy to blame the other person rather than to look at what's making me unhappy right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we always encourage people to go to mediation, to go to like, you know, where there's an impartial person kind of like talking to both of you and gathering information, or even like couples counseling, or, you know, before, especially, you know, I have people that have been married for 30, 40 some years. Mm-hmm. And like, I think of my parents, I'm like, oh my God, if my parents got divorced right now, even though I'm, you know, obviously no spring chicken, it would still devastate me, you know?
Yeah.
So I can imagine what it does to the little ones, you know? So we try, but at the end of the day, also, we don't want you to be in a relationship mm-hmm. that is clearly toxic and that is just not going to work.
I know. I feel badly because my parents probably could have. My mom more than my dad needed to. Like, I always have the story that they were in love with each other, just never at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens to people, doesn't it?
For sure.
And it just you kind of miss each other.
I had my parents used to. You know, they had a wonderful marriage. They were married 45 years. They dated for 5 before my dad passed away, and they would fight, of course, every marriage.
when they were little, they'd argue about money or something like that. So I would say, you know, to my mom, she was a big fan of Paul Newman, the movie star. And at the time, I'm like, are you going to leave dad for Paul Newman? Because I'm a little kid. And she's like, oh, God, I wish. But no, no. And I'm like, what? She's like, oh, no, no. I had this misperception. She was going to leave. She's like, no, no, everybody fights. You know, the goal is to resolve it.
Right, exactly.
I even made a joke when we were in London. I don't know if I told you we got trapped in a park that we were in after hours.
Oh no.
And because Steve had he was intent on going to this park, and I was taking pictures as we were trying to find an open gate to get out of this park, and I said, I'm taking photos for evidence for the divorce attorney. And Griffin got nervous. He was like, really? Aww. I'm like, and so I'm not gonna make those jokes.
No,
I shouldn't even make those jokes. I mean, no. because more than half of his classmates have parents who have gone through divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than half.
Yeah,
I believe it.
That's I mean, I just was so surprised. I know that the numbers are that, right? Yeah. We know it's over 50%.
Yeah, for sure.
When it comes to making those decisions, what can people, when they know for sure, let's say they know that their spouse is cheating on them, what should they come in and expect? What should they bring with them when they first sit down with you?
Well, I think the first thing is, like, what is it that you want to get out of this marriage?
Okay.
Like, you know, financially, like, have all your, you know, what is it that you all have together? You know, because you know how many times we'll be surprised where they think they have more than they do, or they didn't know they had as much as they did. Like, I actually had a client who was like, well, we don't really, you know, our house is underwater. She didn't even know that he had like a pension or a 401k. There was a secret account somewhere that she had no clue. And obviously we do our homework. That's one of the first things we do. We want to get full disclosure of everything because we want to be able to separate assets accordingly. And she was just so happy. She's like, had I known this, I would have got divorced sooner, because she came out winning, you know, because she had no idea that they were so financially stable, you know, than they were. I mean, you know, money was never really an issue with them, but she got more than she expected. So she was actually pretty happy, you know. I was like, oh,
man.
Okay.
Let me see what my husband's got. Hold on a second. Let me check our files. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments for Gina, she is a family law attorney with Diaz Case Law. You can go to rethinkfam.com or call 708-665-4500 to reach her office, or you can reach her right now on the line, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to that number. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Almost every story you hear about divorce proceedings sounds messy and nasty, and that's why we're hanging out with Gina Diaz to find out how we can make it less painful, help folks get through what is obviously one of the biggest life changes that's going to come along for not only themselves, but obviously for their children as well.
For sure.
You are listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and you can go to rethinkfam.com to find out more about the work that Gina Diaz and her law firm does for families. We also have Jen Zanotti. Jen Zanotti walked in, Andrea, and I don't know if I'm supposed to go, hey, you're divorced.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go for you?
And it went so smoothly.
She's like,
I mean, you know, not at first, but no, things did go well. We are on we have a great relationship right now.
Right now.
But yeah,
I'll help
right
you.
Now.
I'll help you ruin that.
Right now.
I heard you were talking about it on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. We actually were texting a little bit ago, but no, I love him like my brother.
Oh, see, that would be a problem if you're married.
It's definitely a problem.
Which is why I think it didn't work out. But no, we got through it.
And you're friends. Good.
I might
and
ask
we're
you.
Friends. Yeah, we can talk about. Hey, you know, it was a process for me to get to that place.
Well, we're helping a couple people on hold. We've got Lloyd on hold who wanted to join our conversation. Hi, Lloyd. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. What do you want to ask, Gina?
Okay, I've been divorced since 2001. So my kids are 2 and 4, and they both did community college for the first couple years. They're ones at Indiana University that is going to be going to Florida State. And their mom lives in Florida, and I know that, you know, basically sometime soon we're going to have to start taking out loans for their last year or two of college. And I see the writing on the wall, this being an issue. What is the recourse when one of the parent lives out of the state, or does that just complicate the issue, you know, more so?
Well, as far as for paying for college for, you know, kids, it's usually like a third, because it's presumed that you pay a third ex-wife pays a third and the child pays a third, because obviously at that point they can take out student loans. But it also kind of goes based on what you can pay, because, you know, like if they go to like super expensive college and even a third is too much that you really can't afford, like they don't really make you, mm-hmm. you know, like the judge can't really make you pay something you clearly, because you still have to be able to provide for yourself, right? I mean, you can't just work, you know, to pay someone's college. But as far as them going out of state, it just depends what was in your agreement. Remember now, once they're 18, you know, they can kind of go wherever they want to go.
Right.
So, you know, that has a lot to do with it, too. And I'm assuming...
Right, so, but if
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So if one of the parents is not going to hold up their end of the bargain or file the divorce decree, does it make it more difficult when they live out of state, or you just kind of... about the normal, you know, business of
holding
that person accountable, you know?
For sure. No, you can still do it here. If you got divorced here and then just she moved out of state, you can still do it here and they get served over there. Mm-hmm. And they're either going to have to come and take the trip to come back to court here, or they're going to have to get a lawyer here that can represent them here. But nothing changes. I mean, if they moved out of state, doesn't mean that, you know, they don't have to hold their end of the bargain.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can't go another second. Gotcha. I'm over here now. Try and get me.
Yeah, well, they'll get you.
Yeah. Right. Okay, good. All right. That's great to know. I appreciate it. And thanks for the good advice.
No problem.
Thank you, Lloyd. Be safe. Let me take a call from Jim, who's also been on hold. Hey, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, yes, Jim. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. I'm doing well. My question actually came from an argument we had in a group setting. A gentleman was in a divorce, and his wife inherited quite a bit of money, and he was told that is untouchable. Is there any time limit as to when the inheritance then becomes communal property or not? Or does that stay untouchable forever?
Yes, that is correct. Inheritance are usually untouchable if it's a true inheritance.
Ooh.
Yes, it usually... now, if like they... Like, for example, I had a case where a young lady inherited quite a bit of money from her mother. Her mother passed away. They were married. But then what she did is she took a chunk out of the inheritance and, like, you know, put a joint account together with him. Now that money is touchable because she took it out of... You know, she basically made a step to make it community property versus her inheritance. So if they got an inheritance and they haven't voluntarily shared it with the other spouse, it's untouchable.
Wow. She set up an account to give him an allowance? What was that for?
I she was going away to the army, so I'm probably so he can keep paying the mortgage or whatever.
Interesting.
But nevertheless, she did that, and that made it kind of like, well... Yeah, well, this part of the money now becomes both of yours, so you, yeah.
Yeah, so Jim, are you going to tell your friend that that's correct, the inheritance is untouchable?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so then that really has nothing to do with trying to figure out maintenance or so stuff like that, is that correct?
Does it come into play?
Yeah, it does to a certain extent, for sure. Like, you know, they can't be like, well, I'm broke, I don't have any money, and then you got like $3 million sitting in an inheritance, you know, like, because, you know, they could also be like, well, if they would have stayed in this marriage, this person would have enjoyed this type of living. So yeah, they could take it. It just kind of goes in the judge. They don't have to, but most of them do, you know, but you don't get half of that. You just get whatever percentage you would get for maintenance anyway.
You're not entitled to part
exactly
of it. Yeah, a certain amount of it. Hope that helps, Jim.
Very good. Thank you for your help.
Of course. Tell your friend good luck.
Ouch.
good luck with that. Yeah, I have seen so many divorces. I mean, for the most part, you know, you're probably one of the few that is like, mm-hmm. What made it sort of difficult going through that process, Jen?
Well, I think just everything, including the decision, you know, of making that realization that, you know, I was not happy in the marriage. So, you know, a lot of that, those emotions going through it for a few years and trying to make everybody else happy but myself. And then, you know, actually making the decision and saying the words out loud that I wanted to get a divorce. And, you know, we made it kind of easier by going through... we didn't use lawyers. We went online and used IllinoisDivorce.com or .net, I think. And you can talk to attorneys, but they literally have that where you can do the process on your own. And I could have fought for a lot more But I made the decision not to, so that I could get out of the negative situation.
Gotcha.
And environment. So,
well, and when there aren't kids involved sometimes, but I was asking you, Gina, about when there are pets involved too, because people often have their cats and dogs like they're their children.
You know, one of the funny things is when I first started practicing law, the first job that I got, you know, as a divorce, family law lawyer, one of my first divorces was a couple that was had been trying to get divorced for 2 years prior to me coming into the case. Mm-hmm. And they were literally fighting over two things. One was their dog, and the other one was these Royal Prestige pots and pans that, like, neither of them wanted to give up.
Oh, that
it was insane.
Wow. Come on.
But the funniest thing is that the dog ended up running away, so nobody got the dog.
No.
Because
the dog couldn't handle it.
The dog couldn't handle it.
The dog's like, I'm done with both people.
Yeah, it was insane. And literally, I did the math, like, just for my own, like, you know,
edification.
Yeah, yeah, I did the math of, like, once we finalized the divorce, how much did each, you know, did each spend? And we were, like, on the cheaper side, like, the husband's lawyer was on the more expensive side, so mm-hmm. I just did it on our side. And over those 3 years that it took to get divorced, they spent over $20,000, like on my side, $20,000. So I think on his side, at least it had to be double.
Oh my God.
They could have bought, you know how many Royal Prestige pots and pans they could have bought?
And how many dogs?
Wow. Yeah. like really. Like it was, it's insane. But these people just disliked each other that much that it was like,
revenge.
And no kids.
Right. Do you find that sometimes that people, okay, obviously people who get along and just realize, okay, we've had this, I hate to use the word conscious uncoupling or irreconcilable differences, mm-hmm. that we can't get along. Is that easier than if, say, someone else comes into the picture and kind of, because then you have hard feelings on the other side with, you know, maybe her saying, or maybe him saying, right. I'm not going to play ball because you have a new boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, I think it just depends. I mean, you know that you would think you would know that person, you know, better than, you know, of course, obviously you're getting divorced and you never know what that person's capable of, but it just kind of depends. It varies. You know, some people, like, you know, in your mm-hmm. case, like, you know, they're okay. Like, you know, that's what you just said. Like, you just realize you're not happy. Mm-hmm. And right. it does take a lot to take that step and be like, right. I want a divorce. Like, I'm just not happy. And a lot of people don't do that. And then by the time they get, you know, the courage mm-hmm. to do that, they have done so much damage to each other because they're just not happy.
Right.
But they never took that step to say, you know what, it's just not working.
Mm-hmm. I think that took a long time for me because, you know, you always feel like there has to be a reason, like, you know, he's not abusing me, you know, he's not cheating on me, or is it justification enough that I'm just not happy?
Exactly.
But absolutely, 100%. And you do what you can to try. You know, we went to counseling after a long time. He finally took me seriously about that and knew that I wasn't content and he needed to make some kind of effort. And we went to counseling, we went to therapy, we tried it. But it's just, you know, when you come to that realization and I think say it out loud, you kind of know you've come to a point where you're just done.
Let's see what John's going through as well. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you. I have a question for you. Maybe you can help me out.
Uh-huh. Let's hope.
My daughter got divorced a while ago, and her ex is a truck driver who files a 1099, and it seems that he's not paying his fair share. He's not living up to the agreement. What kind of things can we do to make him pay his fair share?
Here's an interesting question, John, because there are people, their income is sort of, you know, it fluctuates.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be trying to, like, underreport what they're making in order to pay less in alimony. Is that what you're talking about, John?
I don't know if he's reporting or underreporting, but it seems like he's just not divvying up his fair share as far as the court agreement.
Okay.
Well, definitely, first of all, come see me for sure. And then definitely we can file what we call, again, a post decree. Basically, you know, telling the judge, you know, we call it a rule to show cause as to why this person's not holding their end of the deal. And, you know, we subpoena the work record. So even if you know, you're under reporting or whatever, you know, your employer is not going to want to get in trouble by not, you know, stating what they truly pay you, whether it's cash or not, you know, like, believe me, when they see a lawyer subpoena, they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna, like, you know, hide your stuff, and so they'll get in trouble.
Right.
You know.
Right. So if someone's not holding up their end of what the agreement is, I mean, that just seems like it's cut and dry to take them back to court.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And sometimes, you know, I caution people with this because sometimes by doing that, you end up paying more. later on, like the person that's not holding it, because now, you know, you make a judge upset enough where you like lie to them and you like, you know, try to dance around the issue. They're not only going to like make you pay what you owed, but they're going to like put interest behind it. And they're going to be like, well, now you're going to pay this. Or, you know, a lot of times people get locked up for stuff like this. And, you know, this is how much the bond money is for you to get out, which is exactly what you owe. So, you know, when you post that bond, it's going to, you know, or your taxes, you file taxes, that tax money is going to go. So, like, you know, just hold your end of the bargain, you know, and make things easier.
Well, John, we wish your daughter the best of luck. And, yeah, make sure that she's getting what's been
for sure
decided by a court. You can go to RethinkFam.com or call 708-665-4500. Again, the number is 708-665-4500 to reach Gina Diaz or someone on her legal team that can help you out through these really kind of, you know, gut-wrenching times.
For sure.
And find the least painful way to get that what you need out of life accomplished. Thank you so much, Gina. We'll talk to you again next week.
For sure.
And again, it gives you time. I know people get nervous, you know, sharing their personal stories and having to, you know, sometimes you feel vulnerable. And I want people to know this is a safe space to have these conversations. And that's not too generic, Andrea.
No, I think it's perfect. It's because it absolutely is.
Because it's one of those weird terms,
safe space.
As we start
to say goodbye to Gina, the phones start lighting up.
I know.
You know, and you know, it's a very sensitive situation, you know. Yeah. Maybe people,
and you know, you don't have to say your name.
Absolutely.
I always tell people, you can make up a name.
Always
make
be
up
anonymous. You can
the
text
more
us.
The more you tell people and put out there that it's a safe, you know, space or environment, I think it's important.
You help too, Jen, because now people think, okay, you know, you're a familiar voice. You've been through it.
Absolutely.
You're okay. You came out okay.
Yeah.
As far I did. As we know.
I'm here. I'm good.
She's good. Absolutely.
Thank you I'm so excellent. Much. Thank you so much for joining us, Gina. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, ladies.
Have a great week. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Motivational Monday with Gen Z.